The Lord be with you. All right. Hey, a couple quick announcements. First of all, men, Friday night is the last men's night out of the year. All right, whoop. All right, so it's from 5 to 9. Sign up is at grow.hope.edu. I want everybody to come, but we especially want the seniors to come. And check your emails for that. So that's men's night out. Second thing is, I'd like to introduce to you Jonathan Brenneman. Jonathan is part of the Christian Peacemaker teams, and he will be speaking to us today. A couple things, though. Right after this, in Mott's conference room, there will be a question and answer time with Jonathan, and lunch will be provided. And then at 7:30 tonight in Graves Hall in Winans Auditorium, Jonathan will give a lecture. And yeah, Graves Hall. So Jonathan, I'll pray for you and then you can speak. Join us in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you, Lord, call us out of the darkness and into your marvelous light. And I thank you for Jonathan and his witness of bearing witness to your light in the world. We pray that you would open our minds and ears to hear what he has to say. We pray these things in your gracious name. Amen.
Good morning. This place is packed. I love it. I'd like us all to take a second this morning, and I have a little imagination project for us. What would it look like if we as the church were taking seriously our commitment to peace, as seriously as nations are committed to war? What would that look like? What would we be willing to risk? What training would we be willing to do? Where would our tithes be going? And I want to start out with this imagining and getting into this framework because it was out of this experiment, out of this idea that the organization that I work for, Christian Peacemaker Teams, was formed. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of the strategies that we do and that we have kind of the answer to that question that we have come up with as a church committed to peacemaking. First of all, unlike armies that can go into an area that does not want war and bring war, it's very difficult to go into an area that does not want peace and bring peace. Instead, we see ourselves as being a supporting role to peacemakers in different areas around the world. We currently work in Colombia, in Iraqi Kurdistan, in Canada with First Nations people, and in Palestine. And that's the team that I was working on. And we won't go to these places because we're invited to go to those places. Because as I said, we can't come in and bring peace when there aren't already people on the ground working for it. And so we partner with local peacemakers. In my situation, we partner with Palestinian as well as Israeli peacemakers because there are people on both sides of these conflicts that desperately want peace. And we see our job as being one of supporting them. And we also don't just look at the face of the conflict. Our job is not just standing between two warring sides, but instead to dig deeper into what systems are at work that are hurting both the oppressed group as well as the oppressive group. And finally, we realize that in order to bring justice and to bring peace to these areas, it's going to take more than just the people on the ground. It's going to take the rest of the church. It's going to take the rest of the world knowing what's going on. And so we share the stories that we see and that we hear and that we experience while we're there. So this morning I'd like to share just one story, and I would invite you to come tonight and hear some more stories and to come this afternoon, and we can just talk about the things that I have been experiencing. So the city of Hebron, probably most of you don't know very much about it other than it was in the Bible and Abraham is buried there. But it is a Palestinian city, and in this Palestinian city, about 30 years ago, some Israeli extremists moved into the center of the city. basically colonizing small sections of it. Now, I call them extremists, not out of my own definition, but because the Israeli government actually considers them a terrorist organization because of their anti-Arab sentiments. So imagine if, like, the Ku Klux Klan moved into the center of Harlem. That's the situation that we're living in Hebron. And added to this, the Israeli government's response was to send their soldiers into Palestine, into Hebron. There's now 2,000 soldiers protecting these 500 extremists in that city. And they've set up a lot of, the military has set up a lot of infrastructure there, military bases, as well as a lot of security checkpoints scattered throughout. So there was one day, a large part of our work is trying to help children navigate these military checkpoints in order to get to school. And there was one day the children were at school, I and another CPT were out on patrol, and the military decided to close down these checkpoints, basically blockading a large section of the city off for, so Palestinians couldn't get there or leave from there. Problem is, the school was inside this blockade, and most of the children's homes were outside this blockade. And it just so happened, I was patrolling around the school, so I was on the wrong side of the blockade from where our house was, because CPT lives in these same communities with these people. So I and another CPTer were walking around aimlessly, not knowing what to do, and the school principal saw us from his office and called us into the school and explained through his broken English and my absolutely awful Arabic, we were able to communicate, and he explained that he had a plan to get these kids home. He just wanted to organize, and he was going to walk out with them and try to negotiate with the soldier, and asked us if we would help, which, of course, we were willing to do. So we got out our cameras, and the principal was really excited to see that I had a video camera. And so we go outside after the bell rings. He organizes all the kids, and he's up front, and he's walking, and we get to the soldier, and the soldier stops all of the children, stops the whole processional, well short of even getting to the checkpoint. It says, there's no way you all are getting through. And the principal starts negotiating with the soldier. And he keeps, like, motioning, every pause, motioning for me to get closer and get a close-up. And he's not doing this because, you know, he wants more FaceTime. He's doing it because he realizes when the soldier sees that there are others out there that are going to see what he's doing, that he's probably going to do the right thing. And just having that outside eye, having presence of internationals in that city is a major strategy that we have to decrease that violence. In this case, after some negotiation, the soldier went and talked to his commander, and the kids were able to move a little bit closer to their homes, and then talked to another soldier and move a little bit closer. And they weren't even allowed to go through the checkpoint. But the military took us around a back way and unlocked the gate for the children and the principals, and then for us to get through as well. Afterwards, I was interviewing the principal, and he explained that it was very important that we were there with the cameras because again, it showed the soldiers that others were going to see, and he wanted that story shared. So I actually filmed that interview and was able to give that footage to a local news agency that helped spread that story out. And most of the stories we also give to Israeli partners in the Israeli media who get these stories out to the people in Israel, because it's so easy for people to turn a blind eye. So a huge part of our work is trying to get these stories out. So I'm running short on time, so that's the only story I'll get to tell this morning again. Come this evening or this afternoon, I'd love to share some more with you. But I'd like to close before prayer with the mission statement of CPT that I think this story really helps shed some light on. CPT Palestine is a faith-based organization that supports Palestinian-led, nonviolent, grassroots resistance to the Israeli occupation and the unjust structures that uphold it. By collaborating with local Palestinian and Israeli peacemakers and educating people in our home communities, we help create the space for justice and peace. So before I dismiss you, I'd like to close us in prayer with a blessing from this old Franciscan blessing. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths in superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and the exploitation of people, so that you may tirelessly work for justice, freedom, and peace among all people. May God bless you with a gift of tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, or the loss of all they cherish, so that you may reach out your hand and comfort them and transform their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, by God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. Go in peace.